Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by The Confidence Stitch, a brick-and-mortar fabric store in Missoula, Montana. If you wish you could visit a fabric store and get personalized expertise right now, look no further than virtual fabric shopping sessions with Kate, the owner of The Confidence Stitch. Learn all about how to book your free session later in the podcast and visit sewhere.com/confident to shop their selection of high-quality garment fabrics anytime your heart desires.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to talk about, like, super luxurious things that you can have in your sewing room.
Like, you don't have to have them to sew. You don't need them to sew. They might make it easier to sew, or it might just make you feel special when you're sewing.
I want them to be, though, a little on the, like, the top of the Maslow's hierarchy. You know, we've done, okay.
It's the top of the pyramid,
it's the
everybody.
Top of the pyramid, okay.
We've done the foundation. We've done the middle part. Right.
Self-actualization sewing supplies. Okay, because we've done episodes, haven't we? I kind of forgot where we were like, Here's what you should get when you buy a sewing machine.
The first thing you should do is name your sewing space.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That doesn't cost anything.
Because people are like, I have an extra bedroom. No, you need to give it a name. Now, we call ours our studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does the trick. The kids.
Soapbox. What's his name?
Russell.
Russell calls his bunker.
Well, now it's his sewing bunker.
Yes.
Because he's got to teach his fashion classes.
He has to teach everything from and he's got, you know, his computer set up and his camera set up. It's like really cool.
What is that thing, that contraption?
He's got like this three-armed contraption and one holds his camera and one holds his computer, you know.
And one holds his microphone.
I'm sorry. We started taping before you did. How come you're looking better than us?
Why are you so cool, Russell?
Why are you cooler than us, Russell?
Yeah. Well, anyway. It's obvious. Russell's cool.
I've never had a mustache like his either.
No.
So anyway, honestly, I have some really cool shoes, but he's got some cool shoes,
like,
too.
Like suit, right. Jacket. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
But let's name it and name it something that feels good to you.
And, right? You know,
it could be my sewing space.
But what I'm saying is, even
if you have this little, like I used to have a dinky bedroom, or I used to, you know, if you've ever listened to the podcast where I started sewing, where did I start sewing? On my parents, because I was a kid, on my parents' dining room table.
Yeah.
You know, out of a suitcase.
So you should have called it the sewing table.
I should have named it something.
No, but naming it something is good. And our kids, like, itty bitty, when they first started talking, they're like, I want to go studio.
Right.
I
want
to go studio. Where's mommy?
Can I go to
mommy's
studio
in
now?
Studio.
Right.
Sugar in the studio. You know. So
and we are fortunate enough that we had a studio.
Yes. But even Fred, with her tiny sewing room. It's her sewing
Maybe
room.
Maybe she should call it her tiny sewing room. Her sewing capsule. What could she call it? There's all kinds of things she could call it. Fred, come up with a good name.
Yeah, tell us your official. I'll update the blog post. I just reshared that blog post. It's a classic. She took a very, very small room and made it into a very versatile.
It was like a laundry room, and she totally organized
it. Room is a generous word.
Right.
Okay. You know,
it was like a laundry closet.
Yeah.
She did some amazing things.
She did amazing things. Okay, so, but these items we're talking about today are things that you can just fantasize and dream about, and they're not meant to make your sewing space feel less than. They're supposed to just make you think of how the sky's the limit.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that we don't have in here anymore that we used to is a TV screen, and you brought that up. So we,
much to my dismay,
we
have one in the room over that if I want to watch TV, I turn it
on.
I really can't see it or I can hear it.
Now, this has changed a bit, though, with how we consume media, because
when
you first had your sewing space up here in 1995, okay, there were no podcasts.
No.
There was no watching a video on your smartphone.
Internet was dial-up.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
okay.
We had one computer,
you know, in the music room. That was dial-up that we all shared, and that was our internet computer.
And it had Spellerbee on it. So
Spellerbee.
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 So in our sewing room now, we don't have one of those, but as a TV screen can be nice if you're going to watch tutorials.
Right.
Or if you are going to, like, put on some fun.
Well,
it can be fun to have a show on.
You know, I've seen people say things like, I just like to watch The Sound of Music when I'm sewing.
Yeah.
So they aren't always looking at it. But,
no.
You know, they've got it memorized. They have the dialogue. So they've got
Who says they like to watch The Sound of Music?
Somebody did. But you know, some people have the whole movie memorized, right? The video and the audio. But they like that company, right?
Yes. And, it can be nice to rewatch like an old series, maybe.
Or rewatch your M2M leggings tutorial.
Well, that's the other thing. Online instruction has become so ubiquitous. You know, there's people have individual online classes like ours, like the sweater class. SewSweaters.com.
That's right.
Use code SewingOutLoud for 15% off. Anyway.
I like to watch cooking shows when I'm sewing.
I know. Right. Something about, I like the cooking shows or the gardening shows, like fun, you know, to have on. However.
Home improvement shows, whatever.
Now we have podcasts.
Right.
Okay. Audiobooks. Okay.
And when you say audio, that brings to mind.
Yes, this is a wonderful segue.
This is Mallory's big deal.
Yes,
she likes
this
a lot.
This is huge, and I've been waiting to like share about it and find like a good context. So that's the whole reason for this podcast episode, okay? So I love audiobooks and I love podcasts, and everyone should listen to our podcast and love podcasts, but I would get into the sewing part of the project. Okay, so I'd cut. That's fairly quiet, okay? But then when I'm sewing fast, and when I go to the serger, I can't hear.
No, I can't hear.
I can't hear something.
Well, and I don't want to carry my phone around
with me. And
like the phone from the cutting table to the serger to the sewing table.
I thought I had kind of a luxury in that I had my Apple Watch, so my phone would be somewhere, and maybe I'd have a Bluetooth speaker. Like my husband uses the Bluetooth speaker. I don't use it as much as he does. Because I have Bluetooth in my car. And anyway, so I would, with my Apple Watch, I'd hit the pause button on my Apple Watch. And
I never
I'd
did
search.
That. That's a good idea. Yeah, and then stop.
Okay,
and
then
it on
I'd
again.
Stop, then I'd turn it back on. And I thought, this is nice. And then I finally caved in and bought a pair of Bluetooth earbuds. Okay. I had not wanted to buy these. My husband wanted some. I thought they were super duper, like, kind of frivolous and, like, just use regular earphones. Like, what's your deal, friend? You know, blah, blah, blah. And so he bought some. And then I started doing some of that part-time work at that art gallery. Definitely needed some earbuds.
Well, and I used them in Ariel.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Because it's hard, you know, the music, if you're. Yeah, you have your music on
your phone
and it's laying on the ground and you're climbing 20 feet high, you know, you can hear it better
with earbuds. Okay, so with the earbuds, with the Bluetooth earbuds, and I didn't get Apple AirPods. I got another brand.
Yeah, mine or some other brand.
They're off-brand and they're working really nicely, and I'll share a link to them. So they're right in your ears, so you don't have to carry your phone around because they're Bluetooth. And then when I'm surging,
I
can still hear everything. So really, no, I'm like, this has made it possible for me to surge and listen to audiobooks. And I feel like so excited because I was surging a bunch of those pee-pee pads. And that was miles of surging, 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 surging over and over again with, I mean, I can't listen to something when I'm doing calculations.
Right.
You know, or anything like that. Of course, for me, I know some people can't.
Well, or if things are too loud, it's hard to see for me.
Yeah, exactly. No, same here. No, same here.
But, well, it's like if I don't have my glasses or my contacts in, it's hard for me to talk on the phone.
Okay. Yeah.
I hear better if I have my contacts in.
I get it. So I was able to listen to audiobooks. I was just thrilled. I thought, these are awesome. And then something that my husband does, and I'm talking about him because he originally got the headphones.
Plus, he's around a lot now, too.
Yeah, he's around a lot. Well, here's the other thing, okay? Yeah.
Everybody can listen to their own thing.
Yeah, something he does that kind of annoys me a little bit is, like, if he's got dinner-making duty and I have kid duty, he'll put in his earbuds.
And then he's all in his own, he's getting his own
he's
little
He's in his own little world. And I was like, well, shoot, I need to start doing You know, and I'm like, why do I think I have to hear everything?
That's
you know?
Right.
And so since we are at home a lot more, even up here.
So it gives you private space.
It does. It gives you a break. Because I can hear the kids if the wind is blowing right or whatever, you know, I can still hear the kids screaming when I'm up here in the sewing studio. And then maybe it's happy screams, whatever.
I can hear Mallory's kids from my house.
But they're, the Bluetooth, the fact that it's a Bluetooth in-ear earbud has given me a lot of focus. You know, just, I'm not worried about the other thing. The kids are very safe with their very conscientious, wonderful father, you know. And so I'm not worried about that. And so you can use them in your sewing room, especially ours is very off. You know, there are some people in a spare bedroom.
Well, that's
where it's
true.
Close
yeah.
to, like, the living
we're,
room.
We're somewhat remote
yeah,
from the
no,
living
we
area.
We really are.
Right.
We're very remote. But if you are in a place that's kind of close to the living space and you don't have to keep your ear on, you know, kids or something, or you can just put one in. That's what Derek does sometimes. Yeah, but occasionally Derek gets a very loud ask from me of, are you wearing your headphones? Because you're not answering my question. You know?
Or you can just act like you're wearing your headphones and not answer the question.
So, no, these are, I think this is like the time in my life where I'm so freaking happy to have these. Because even if I have to fold laundry, you know, somewhere and I just need a little break from all the rest of the humans, I can get it. I can garden in them. I've tried to run in them, and one of them kept falling out.
Well, now that happens in Ariel. They'll fall out, but they fall straight down, so you know where they are.
Running is a little harder because I'm like, oh, that just went off into the ditch, you know, or whatever.
And you know that about Ariel, that you may lose one.
Now, they came.
I mean, I not lose it, but it may come out. You'll get it again.
They came with some different size little plasticky thingies that go in your ear. Right. So I wonder if I need a different size in one of my ears.
Oh, you might have two different
sizes.
Or two different shaped ears.
So Bluetooth earbuds.
Okay, how long did you talk about those?
Well, it's our podcast.
This must be the thing she likes.
Get them if you have your.
You know, if one other person can be as happy with as Mallory is with their earbuds, we have accomplished our mission today.
I was just so happy. Okay, so a TV, but I just want to say that your computer, okay, if you can't have a TV, let's pretend you have a computer or you have a smartphone or an iPad or something, make a spot for it.
Right.
Where it might not be there permanently because you use it in different areas of your house, but if you can make a spot where you have your charger or a place to plug it in or whatever, that can be nice and you can watch your tutorials and everything there. And when you are watching, like, your online class, it can be very nice to have an iPad stand or a phone stand. Like, your laptop, you know, will obviously be a very, you know, independent thing. But I hate it when I have been up here without the phone stand and I've been looking something up on my phone and I have to hold it, you know, at the same time as I'm looking things up. I was looking up how to crochet around, like, a cord for a project, you know, and I kept having to hold up my phone or prop it up because our little tripod was elsewhere. So if you don't have a TV, that's a good thing to do. But yeah, then get yourself some Bluetooth earbuds. End of podcast. Drop the mic. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, we'll be back after a message from our sponsor, and you'll hear more about the top of the sewing, Maslow's hierarchy.
Maslow's.
Okay, we'll be right back.
supporting our favorite fabric stores is more important now than ever before. We are proud to welcome back the Confident Stitch as a sponsor of Sewing Out Loud.
Getting personalized advice on your fabric purchases can be challenging. It can be difficult to find a store with high-quality garment fabric, and often there's not a staff member available for each customer.
But now you can schedule a one-on-one fabric buying consultation with Kate McIver, owner of the Confident Stitch in Missoula, Montana. Kate will walk you through fabric choices and provide expert advice based on your sewing goals. The Confident Stitch stocks everything from denim and canvas to stretch lace and wool.
The Confident Stitch just received a shipment of new rayon fabrics, perfect for spring and summer makes. When you schedule a virtual shopping session, you'll be able to see the weight, hand, and drape of these fabrics, and Kate will help you determine the perfect fabric for your next project.
Go to sewhere.com/confident and schedule your consultation today.
Thanks, the Confident Stitch.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
All right, this next thing is something that came up in the group. Someone had the opportunity to buy one used. It was a big press.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was some crazy cheap price. Like, these things are normally $1,100.
Again, this $1,400, happens that, you know, someone meets their demise,
right,
and leaves behind their sewing equipment, and the people who are selling it or auctioning it or whatever don't know its value to the other another sewing person. Now, it doesn't have a lot of value to the general public.
No.
So you can wind up getting something for, you know, a really good value.
No, so it was one of the big presses, like a pants press. I don't know, what is it called? I mean, I just call it a press.
It's a press.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I call it, a press.
And it must have been like $100 because I thought I would just go buy it and not.
Right.
Like, or maybe was it less than that? Because I thought, sure it turns on.
Yeah.
And then go get it now.
Right.
You know, it was crazy. And then people ask, like, well, why would I want this? Or you know, what purpose could this serve? So I wanted to talk about the luxurious experience of owning a press. So tell us how you have used a press.
Well, probably above and beyond anything if you're trying to use something fusible.
Yes.
Okay. A fusible, stabilizer, something like Misty Fuse, which fuses two pieces of fabric together or fuses fabric to paper or something like that. You cannot do better than this.
Okay. Right.
First of all, it's not only a press in the sense that, like, it's warm, you know, and it presses on top of something. But when you bring down the handle, you're getting several, like, 100 pounds of pressure.
Right.
So you can't put that pressure on, like, a handheld iron.
No, if you have a project, like, I mean, actually, this kind of, you know, makes me think of kind of quilty applique-y things more so than garment things.
Well, you know, I have also done yardage on it.
Oh,
though,
sure.
You know.
But I think of a big, like, applique quilt.
Yes.
Okay, where you got all these little pieces.
Right.
If you can place them, and then you can go boom, boom with the press.
Right.
What I am about to use it for is to make my own beeswax wraps. Okay? So
you're going to get beeswax on my press?
I'm not going to get beeswax on your press. And I'll tell you how. I'm going to encase my entire project in parchment paper or Teflon pressing sheets, right?
Well, the thing is, and here we go. It can be cleaned.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
you know, and it has a pad.
It has a cover. Yes.
They have covers and everything else. Ours also has a sleeve board.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I used to iron my clothes, guys. There was a day when we ironed our clothes, and believe me, there was nothing like it.
When we made those little pee-pee pads, I was afraid that they were going to get really scrunched up in the laundry, and they don't. I was afraid I was going to be ironing my toilet paper. I know. I was like, oh, my God, right. Are these going to get all – and they really
well,
don't.
Well, I used to iron my sheets.
Yeah.
Okay? And yeah. If I did not have a chronic illness, I still would. And that's how I did them, was on the press.
Right.
Okay, there is nothing like a set of iron sheets, let me tell
you. So being able to press out yardage like that, mm-hmm. and it saves your energy, your hands, yes. your everything.
And like I said, you cannot get anything that crisp. There's no way with the poundage that's put into it.
If you're going to transfer something, right. like using an iron-on transfer. Now, it's not quite as hot and as a t-shirt press, I think.
You mean a laminate, like some, not laminating, but you mean something that where you,
yeah,
like you're putting on a transfer.
Yes.
No, there's a difference.
It's a different thing. Mm-hmm. So just there's so you know, difference. I mean, but
now, yeah. Will it do better than any other than ironing on your transfer? Absolutely.
Because you get the area. Mm-hmm. Also, we
it's the pressure too.
The pressure, yeah. the even pressure, yes. all at one yes. time. And so when we did our laminating,
right?
Remember when we did that video where
it's when you did the video and the lady said you were really mean to me, and somebody else said I was really mean
yes,
to you.
Yes,
yeah, that one.
Yes, that's exactly it. So we and I look at how we're standing like so close to the press, and it makes me so nervous.
But sometimes when we tape, it really does give a like. I will see myself rotary cutting when we tape, and it looks like I'm going to slice my fingers
off. Our zigzag,
and I am far away from it.
No, our zigzag members know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I am filming ZD, and while like I'm watching her, I don't feel this. But then when I go to edit the video, I'm like, it looks like you're going to slice your damn thumb off.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, and it's not true. We're being safe.
So the presses are very nice, and they last a long time.
Yes.
Okay. The one we have, is it a Elna press? Okay, is what it's mm-hmm. is the brand of ours. I don't think they make this exact one anymore.
Well, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them were the same press, and they had different people's names
name.
On them. There was one called a Euro press.
Yes.
I believe at the time I got this Elna press, mm-hmm. the Euro press and the Elna press were the same thing.
And EuroPress is still around. That's the that's the affiliate link I shared.
Okay.
I'm like, this is the one. It's the same size.
So there are a lot of things like that. A lot of your sergers, you know, have.
How old is that press?
This would be at least 25 years old.
Yeah.
Probably right at 25 years old.
Like when we moved here.
Yeah.
You got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is something, once again, okay, let's pretend it's on the high end of that, like, $1,500, that $1,400 or whatever, but divided out over, you know, perhaps a 25-year lifespan, you know. That's nice. So, yeah, keep your eye out for, like,
and
a
at
used
the time,
one.
I was doing a lot of costuming,
uh-huh.
and it came in handy there.
Yeah.
You know, if we were doing anything that, like, I need to diffuse something to something,
mm-hmm.
Making hats, it came in handy. I'm trying to think. Lots of things like I would think like a cosplay person might find a great usage for one of these.
So we don't keep ours set up all the time, and they are made mm-hmm. to like kind of stand up on their side and be sort of low profile, and then you can take it out, put it on a table. It can go on just about any table.
Yeah,
right?
It's like not really real heavy.
No.
It's amazing how like not heavy it is.
It's sort
now,
of portable.
I would want something stable.
Uh-huh.
But I can't think of like any table in your house would probably work.
So
I wouldn't put
I guess,
it like on what we would call a TV table.
I guess if anybody is really like doesn't know what the heck we're talking about, what it looks like is an ironing board with an iron, the shape of the ironing board.
I just remember it's something that we used it for quite a lot too. And pressing embroidery is wonderful.
It's wonderful for pressing embroidery.
But when we would make the free standing lace.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. It would just make it so beautiful to press it in there.
So
it would just be gorgeous.
When you press your machine embroidery, or actually, your hand embroidery.
Or any embroidery. Or whatever. Anything that has a relief or depth right. or 3D to it.
You place a terry cloth towel
like
down.
Like a fluffy. Another thing that's good is diaper fabric.
Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. So you place that down, and then you place your embroidery face down on that, and you iron it, and yes.
So what you're trying to do is sort of push the embroidery out off of the surface, you know, or, and you're ironing the back flat.
Not crush it.
Right. You don't want to mash it. You're trying to give it, like, something that it can press out into.
Right. So, yes, that is a very good use for it. Now, when I say that, you know, they're expensive, that can be more than a lot of people's, like, sewing machines, mm-hmm. you know, that they have. So it's not a cheap thing, but if you come across one on sale or if you're looking to treat yourself, it is a reliable tool. And it is at the, I wouldn't quite put it all the way at the top of the hierarchy. It's kind of,
it depends on what you do, mm-hmm. too, you know. Jeans. And we have gone through spurts of using it, depending on how we're sewing and what we're doing.
No, that's a good point. We'll use it for, like, several weeks. We'll put it away for several weeks. We'll get it out, you know, and do some projects. So, pressing in, we don't press in a lot of hems, right? But when you are going to press in something like that, it can be really nice.
If you want to, like, press a crease down a set of trousers, there is nothing like it.
Do you remember when that guy came in? We had one of these in the back, mm-hmm. at the shop. This was like two locations ago. Okay. And he came in, and I remember that he was, he didn't speak English very well. So he brought his wife in with him, and they were like, talking to us, and she spoke English like a little better than he did, but they were like, we need something where we can iron his pants like this. And so we kept kind of like motioning to the crease in his, you know, on the front of his pants, and we were like, well, like an iron will do this, you know. And he was like, they were like, no, we want the thing, you know. And they didn't, and so we brought it out, and they were like, yup, and boom. Like, they just knew that they wanted the specialized tool, and it wasn't for making anything. It was for getting this.
That's how
crease.
He liked his pants.
That's how he wanted his pants, you know. And it was just so funny because I remember having you were there. Do you not remember this? It was when we were on Bernadette, and I remember we had that press.
Oh,
in
we
the
were
back.
On Bernadette.
Yeah, we had that press in the back, and we brought it out, and they were just like, "Yep, that's what we want.
It.
We want our pants like this." Okay, and I don't know how much does it cost to get your pants.
I have no idea.
Like, laundered at the dry cleaner.
I don't know.
You know, I did. I had to do.
But
some,
you have to take them there and pick them up.
Yeah,
and all
exactly,
that, yeah.
exactly. So, you know, it was worth it. But yeah, if you are going to press any kind of linen or a pillowcase, if that is something that you're into, this is a good
tablecloth. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent for a tablecloth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And napkins. Napkins were great, too. To press your napkins. The way I press my napkins is I halfway dry them now.
Uh-huh.
I spread them out.
Yeah.
And I hang them up. But you know.
But
that's my everyday napkins.
I really need to make my own napkins because you bought me a set a long time ago, and I have them, and I will keep them. But I want to make, like, a nicer set that are cut on grain.
You said they're off grain.
They're way off grain. Like, you know, I'll keep these for... Right. Something, you know, whatever. But
they probably
like,
weren't pre-washed and a whole lot of
No.
So, Mallory.
What's the other thing?
All these things I have in my studio that I've upgraded.
What good are they
to,
if you can't see them?
I cannot see them.
Did I scoop you?
Do you like that
Did
segue?
I scoop you?
No, I was handing it to you.
Oh, okay,
I thought.
Okay. Okay. I caught it. Okay. I got it right here.
Yeah.
What good are they to you if you cannot see them? So, we've talked about nice lighting, and maybe you've got, like, you know, you made sure that all your light bulbs are in your light fixtures.
And light bulbs are better these days.
Yes.
They just keep getting better.
But if you want some really good task lighting, the super duper thin lights by the Daylight Company are amazing. They're very low profile. They can be like an over the sewing machine light. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, be over your
next to your chair that you're hand sewing or knitting in.
Yes.
Whatever.
So if you haven't gotten to the place on the Maslow's hierarchy where you get your own independent building built with custom lighting and, you know, all this, so you might not be there yet. This is the next best thing is to get several of these lamps to put at your spaces.
And if you can't get several, you can also get one that you can move around.
That is portable.
Okay,
absolutely.
We've been known to move. Now, we have light over light over light over light. We have excellent lights on our sewing machines, And then we have other true lights, you know.
No, the sewing machines have gotten so much
better.
Yeah,
the sewing
machines, light bulb improvement.
Talk about improvement. And then, you know, we have a big, huge fluorescent down the middle. And then we have spotlights.
Track lighting. Well, and that's the thing. The track lighting, you know, we're lucky enough to have, you know, Jerry, who could install, you know, all this track lighting for us.
And he really gets off on that.
He loves to add track. In fact, you know, at the art gallery, I was like, let's get another row of track lighting. Yeah. They're like, that's really hard to do. And I was like, I know a guy. Yeah, I was like, I know somebody likes to do that.
It's maybe hard, but it's in my DNA, not a problem.
You know, that's the problem with me. We've talked about this in the podcast before. I'm like, let's just add to this. Let's just add to that. Let's just get...
And we do it.
And we, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's just get some more chickens, right?
But lighting... I think lighting improves your life in many ways.
I can't have enough light.
And those daylights, is that what they're called?
Yeah, the daylight company.
You know, is supposedly true daylight.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it gives you a soft, good light that's a true color. Now, I always kind of laugh at this true color stuff.
I know.
But I know quilters, I know quilters have their whole concept about colors and lights that are different than mine. It's whatever color I see it, where I see it is what it is.
And I know.
Like, I don't, you know, and just because I looked at it under the true light doesn't mean I'm going to see it.
Be under the true
under light. Under that true light again the next time, right?
Well, you and I had that little argument on the zigzag. You're like, that's blue. And I'm like, no, that's green. And so it's all relative, you know? So.
Well, people used to come in to pick out thread, you know, and take it out the parking lot into this bright, blinding sunlight to look at it. And I'm like, they're never going to have it in that kind of light source again.
Is your daughter's wedding on the Parkade Center parking lot? Like, no, you know. And that, you know what? That is important in theater. And I think that's why.
But you're choosing that lighting.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Right.
I think that's why we... I don't know. Maybe this is going a bit too far, but we're like, okay, these are the colors I'm choosing. And then the lighting designer has to then respect that.
They try and respect that.
Or we know, okay, this whole scene is being lit green. Right. What does that mean for us?
Or you know, you can't have any true white on the stage. It's going to be too bright. Or a lot of times, you know, there were things with sequins, like, that weren't in like a showy thing. Like we wanted some sort of sequin on the stage, but we didn't want it blinding anyone on the stage or in the audience. So we would sometimes put like organza over it or something.
Yeah, to filter it.
So you could still see, you know, you still got a glisten or you still got a reflection, but you weren't blinding someone with a light that was on the stage or out in the audience.
Well, okay. And I think our final like really nice thing that I want to like tie this all together with, we're going to talk about chairs, okay? And also, I just want to throw in with the lights, the magnifying glasses. If you are doing any type of, like, handwork or small stuff, and you find yourself kind of, like, hunching over and squinting or whatever, having some kind of visual aid, don't, like, resist that. You know, it's not – don't be ashamed and don't hesitate to invest –
or just reader glasses.
Yes,
even.
Or I reader mean, glasses well, or and, something like
and
that.
And here's the other thing about reader type glasses. Sometimes you need a certain kind to sew with and a certain kind to read
that's
with.
Right.
Like you might, you know, you might actually prefer a different strength.
And you leave some of those up here. Now, I don't use those because I don't wear contacts. Okay, so I can't put a pair like of readers over my glasses, even though I really wish I could because I think readers are
Do you have progressive lenses or yours just one lens?
No, just one lens. So now I don't really find that I need this a whole lot. But with chairs, here's the deal: you need a comfortable
they all
chair.
Look the same. No.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you'll see the same no matter what chair you're sitting in.
You need, I don't know. You said you couldn't talk on the phone without your contacts. Maybe you can't see unless you're sitting in the nice chair. I just inhaled I'm so funny.
Your own secretions.
I inhaled my own joke. Okay. There are many chairs in this studio. And there is one chair that I cannot stand.
Is it the one I'm on?
Sitting in. No. It's over there at the serger. Yeah. It presses on my back in a funny way.
You can change that.
Well, I don't. I just... don't sit in it. I get in it and I'm like, oh, shit. And then I switch chairs, you know.
Here's what happens. We have, like, you know, 8-9 chairs, okay? And you never know what configuration they're going to be in and at what machine they're going to be in.
Because
we've
like rolled around.
Because we roll around or somebody does this or so, or we just taped and we sat on these two chairs and then we move those. So sometimes you have to put the right chair with the right machine.
That's right. And I mean, honestly, there is no one perfect chair, and you might want a couple options. And if we're going to the top of the Maslow's hierarchy, having some kind of couch or comfy chair in your sewing room, like in the lounge of your sewing room.
A fainting couch would be nice.
Yes, a chaise longue.
We actually have a window seat that is a twin bed.
Yes, that's a good place to stick your kid, too.
Right.
And anyway, if you have that, that can be nice because the really important thing is not like the one perfect position.
Right.
It's to be able to move to the different positions.
Right.
And I really wish, I'm working on a partnership with a company called Soul Seat right now.
Yeah, they're good. That's a good deal.
It is so neat.
And that is more almost like a stool.
Yeah, it is. It's backless.
Yes. You may want some backless seating.
Right.
Some people want backless seating and don't want to stand up and down and they want to like, you know, just crawl. Call it a crawl gator. You know, they want to sit on the stool and move like from machine to machine without standing up. I have no problem with that with one with a back. I like a small back to my machine, though. I don't want a big back that like encumbers my arms. And I know people that like.
They want
armrests.
They want everything.
Yes. And, you know, if that's what you need or if that's what you want, that's what you get.
But having a couple of different options.
Yes.
Can be very nice for doing different types of work. And then if you have like a sauna, you know, in your sewing room or whatever to relax in for a bit. But you need to be getting up and moving.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we used to like our sewing machines now have timers on them even. You know,
right.
our phones have timers. There's a lot. But we used to actually even have – I used to have put a timer.
You set a timer.
Yeah, and I would set it for every 20 minutes, especially when I was sewing, like, you know, mega costumes. Like, you know, literally not sewing, but manufacturing, we should call it, right? You know, and because I could sew for 2 hours without moving.
And
it's not what you want to do.
Yeah, with work like that. You could theoretically never find yourself a stopping
assembly
point.
Line. You could just keep going,
go
and just
and
not
go
stop.
And go
right.
and go. Yeah. So setting a timer.
And
is
I used
very
to
important.
Even like make sure that I drank too at that time. You know, even if it was just like one slug of water.
Okay. That is the one thing I wanted to put in here is if you do get to design a sewing space or decide the location
That's
in your
right.
house or whatever. A water source.
It's really nice to have a water source.
Yeah, and we've got a bathroom just like a room away or something like that. But if you can.
Well, that was the studio bathroom.
Yeah, that was a studio bathroom.
We actually have a bathtub in it so we can die too, but go ahead.
That's right. D-Y-E. So
yeah.
I heard you say that. I was like, what?
It did sound like I would. I die for my
I
bathroom.
Die.
Yeah,
I just get the bathtub
I
and die.
I did die.
Right. So we can die. I was going to say, though, once again, with the designing and everything, if you can have your own dedicated washer and dryer in your sewing room, I mean, that would be the bee's knees. You know, that would be pretty darn cool.
And when I designed this, because this was built from the ground up, basically, what I did is my laundry room is at the bottom of the stairs to my sewing studio.
Well, and
so that, you know, it's right there. I don't have to go, you know, over and through and around to get to it.
Let me disclaim, too. You don't want a washer and dryer inside of your sewing room because of the humidity
well,
issues.
Well, in fact,
but if it were,
you know, and people do sew in their laundry rooms.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But it is something you need to be careful about is the moisture that could get into your sewing machine.
Yeah, running a fan or, well, and like your fabric and everything. Cause, your laundry room can get that way. No, my laundry room is not close to our studio, but yours is.
Right.
Yes. So, but let's pretend we built like an independent building.
Right.
It would have a washer and dryer out there, don't you
think? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'd probably put it in my bathroom.
Yeah, there you go. With
Who
your
knows?
Dying tub.
Yeah, with my dining tub.
And your fainting couch? No.
Well, actually, I did a lot. So I have two laundry rooms. Confession. I have two laundry rooms. So I have a basement with a laundry facility, and then I have one, you know, next to my kitchen, between my garage and my kitchen, that goes, and there's a stairway in there, goes up to the studio. So that's the, what I consider the main laundry room. But I have done a lot of dyeing in that basement.
Yeah.
A lot.
And I want to dye my bedroom quilt.
Yeah.
So
it's going down to
it's
the...
Going, yeah, I'm going to just put it in the washer and dryer down there, I think. Okay, so those are our luxury items. Once again, Bluetooth earbuds are just going to make your life great, not only in your sewing room.
It's Mallory's big...
Maybe in your stay-at-home time, too. It might save your
might improve your domestic relationship, too.
Mine are on the charger right now. Oh, and they come in, like, a cute little case. Like, did yours come in a case? Like,
my case is what charges it.
Is it what charges it? Yeah, okay. I didn't know if they were, like, all like that. They probably
are. I think a lot of them are now.
Yeah. No, I was, like, super, super happy to have those lately, so.
In the car, I think they'll be wonderful. I haven't done that yet.
You mean while you're a passenger, right?
While I'm a passenger.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. We'd love to know if you have like a luxurious touch in your sewing room. Tell us. You know, we've got a big walk-in closet and I put little rugs in it. And I thought that that was like very luxurious looking, you know, that there were these two little kind of mats in there or whatever. And anyway, if you have, there have been people who are like, put a piece of art in your laundry room and it'll be like your... in an art gallery or something like that. So if you have something special in your sewing room, tell us about it. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. It's time you did something for the first time.